Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is the Bible true. Plan now to attend the Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss. May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine and for providing a reasoned defense for historic Christianity with gentleness and respect. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, just a pleasure to be in studio taking your questions from throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. If you are in the Legacy Reading Plan, you are no doubt in the Book of Samuel. And the Book of Samuel is one book. It's divided into two books in our modern-day Bibles. But the Book of Samuel is one of my all-time favorite books. And this morning I was reading, or rereading, I should say, Hannah's Prayer. Of course, Hannah was the mother of the great, great prophet Samuel. And in her prayer, she said that her heart rejoices in the Lord. She delights in the deliverance of the Lord. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside the Lord. There is no rock like our God. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The Lord brings death, and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave, and he raises up. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. The foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints. But the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. Or as Proverbs puts it, there's no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Whether I'm in Samuel or John or Luke or one of Paul's epistles or in Peter's writings, the Bible is a treasure trove. It is an absolutely exhilarating experience, but you'll never have it unless you get involved in it. Involvement produces commitment. The Legacy Study A plan is designed to get you into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. It teaches you how to read the Bible in books, not just in bits, by author and by genre. If you don't have the study plan, the Legacy Reading Plan is available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write us for it at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. And a quick reminder before we go to our callers that we are reinvigorating your passion for prayer with Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It is the CD as well as the book version for your gift to the ministry. I'll send that out to you again. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. For your gift of $100 or more, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition out to you personalized, as well as for $250 or more, the Legacy Study Bible personalized to a family member, a friend, or to you personally. For any gift, we would be deeply appreciative. To stay on the air is of paramount importance because this ministry is bearing abundant, abiding fruit around the globe. Be a part of that. We do what we do because truth matters. You can be a part of a truth regime making a difference for time and for eternity. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Betsy in Boise, Idaho. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Hank. I'm so thrilled to talk to you. I love you so much. I love your ministry. I got born again back in 1987, and I think it was solely because of Christian radio. I was bored listening to the radio, turning the dial, and I considered myself agnostic, and I thought it was funny, Christian radio. But Dr. Walter Martin had the Bible Answer Man show that you're carrying out now, and he answered so many of my questions, along with a lot of other Christian radio shows, and then I got a hold of a New Testament, and God saved me by His grace, and I'm just thrilled, and I give to your ministry, and I just am so grateful and just praise God for your ministry.
Thank you, Betsy. What an incredibly stirring testimony.
Oh, I could cry right now. I'm thrilled to talk to you, and I'd love to meet you someday. I'd love to go to your conference. I don't think I'll make it, and also to the cruise. What an awesome opportunity, maybe next year. But my question is about Noah. The scriptures leading up to the story of Noah talk about how God saw that the world was evil, that every man was evil, and he thought only continually evil in his heart. And then it's almost the next paragraph says, God found favor in, or Noah found favor in the sight of God, or that God found Noah righteous. And I'm concerned about, I'm not sure if I'm quoting it exactly. I don't have a copy of my scriptures, but it seems like the subject and the object should remain the same no matter what version you're looking at, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm wondering is where did Noah get his righteousness? How was he considered righteous? And why would he be different than anyone else on the earth?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you ask that question because it is the paramount question. And in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, our righteousness is always a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Noah did not see clearly as you see, Betsy, because he did not have Christ in the present. We look back at the cross, and the cross is clear as crystal to us. It's explicated for us. Noah looked forward to the cross, but only through types and shadows. So Noah believes God, and it is counted to him as righteousness. But again, the righteousness is not a righteousness of his own. It doesn't come by keeping the law. It is by placing his faith in God and trusting that God will provide a sacrifice. The proto-evangel starts early. You see it in Genesis chapter 3, right after the fall. God begins to unfold a plan of redemption, and that plan comes into clearer focus all the while as it is unfolding until we see the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue. And we see in the New Testament that this is the exact same way as we see Abraham being justified. He wasn't justified after he was circumcised, but Paul points out before he was circumcised. So the same thing is true when we're baptized. Baptism doesn't save us, but it is a sign that we have been buried to our old life and raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. It's always believing in God and God counting that as righteousness. So we believe in what God has revealed to us. Now we have God's complete revelation and we are culpable for that revelation. Noah's righteousness was believing God, though he didn't see the picture clearly.
So did he hear from God first? Did he have a revelation of God before that that statement is made in Scripture, or
yes,
is it understood that it was because later it explains, you know, it explains later that God said, "I want you to build me an ark," and then he obeyed.
Right.
Is it because of that, or is it because he just had some kind of belief in God? I mean,
his belief is manifested, Betsy, by obedience.
Okay.
So his obedience is a demonstration that he truly believes God. And in this particular case, it is manifestly true in that everyone thinks that what he is doing is absolutely absurd because they're not hearing from God, whereas he is hearing from God. And the beauty of this is that in every epoch of time, we can hear directly from God. And I think this was even more so the case in the Old Testament, because God spoke directly in the Old Testament, whereas now God speaks through his Son and through his revelation, which is the Word of God. In the Old Testament, God spoke directly, but everyone in any epoch of time has creation. So as you look around the universe, you see the sun, moon, and stars, and you say every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself, just by way of common sense. So we look at the universe and we have light, but God has also stamped a knowledge of himself on the tablet of our hearts so that when he speaks to us, we can recognize his voice. Samuel, of course, the great prophet, didn't hear the voice of God clearly at first, but God continued to speak to him until finally he was able to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So God's never hiding from us. He's always making himself available and plain to those who truly seek him. That's precisely what Noah did, and therefore it was counted as righteousness to him. Betsy, great conversation. Unfortunately, going to have to leave it at that because I'm coming up to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Innisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. We'll be back with more of The Bible Answer Man after this short break. Use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos. videos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss. May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Do you ever find yourself in such a hurry that you come to God in prayer with a list of requests, and before your knees ever touch the ground, you're already thinking about the next thing you need to do? Many Christians struggle to have a meaningful and effective prayer life, but so often we get it backwards. We want a relationship with God without investing any time into that relationship. Hank Hanegraaff gives you the solution in The Prayer of Jesus. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Now, back to the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Once again, right back to our callers. Let's talk to Victor, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Victor.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Hank, I wanted to ask you, I have a friend that's really into this guy named Smith Wigglesworth, and he tells me these stories about these pretty miraculous things about him, and I don't know too much about him, and I was just wondering if you knew about Smith Wigglesworth and what you could tell me about him and all that.
Yeah, I do know about Smith Wigglesworth. I wrote about him in a book called Counterfeit Revival, because a lot of the counterfeit revivalists who are now urging people to look for God in all the wrong places use him as an example. For example, Rodney Howard Brown is copying the techniques of Smith Wigglesworth as well as promoting him. He calls him a wild man, and he recounts one healing by Wigglesworth of a man who was dying of cancer, and Wigglesworth punched him in the stomach so hard he flew through the air and hit the floor dead. In other words, Smith Wigglesworth killed him, but there's no problem whatsoever because 10 minutes later, he healed him and the man was running around the church healed. These kinds of stories, I think, help Christianity reverse. To make up a story about what God supposedly did to point to the power of God in healing, and oftentimes to the healing evangelists themselves, I think drags Christ's name through the mud. And I would say it's worse than that. It's blasphemy, because it's saying that God did something he didn't do and said something he didn't say. Now, do I believe that God can heal? Absolutely. Do I believe that God can raise someone from the dead? Yes. But I have been now for over 20 years asking these faith healers for an example of one of the people who they supposedly have raised from the dead, like Smith Wigglesworth. It seems to me, if I were to have the power of God flow through me in the process of raising someone from the dead, I would at least know the name of that person. It wouldn't be a murky description of someone in some far-off place, but I would know not only the name of that person, I would get to know their family, because resurrections aren't normative. They are the supernatural imposed over the natural order of things, and therefore it seems to reason that you would know a little bit about those raised from the dead, because it's not an everyday occurrence.
Right. Yeah, he's telling me some things, and it just sounded, you know, so just crazy to me that I just, you know, was having trouble believing that. So I just wanted to call you and ask about him. So you've written about him also, and what was the name of the book?
The book is called Counterfeit Revival, the subtitle, Looking for God in All the Wrong Places.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I'll make sure to check that out then.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines now. Talk to James, listening on KKLA, Van Nuys, California. Hi, James.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, yes. Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. My question was, and I bet you get a lot of questions from crazy teens like me like this, but is masturbation, you know, without watching pornography, is masturbation a sin?
Well, the Bible's not explicit regarding masturbation, but I think there are some basic principles that you want to keep in mind. The first thing is you don't want to lust.
Yes.
Lust is a sin. Or fantasize after someone you're not married to.
Yes.
That, too, would be objectifying a person in a way that isn't edifying. So, certainly, as you point out, masturbation in conjunction with pornography is sinful. What the Bible is explicit about is that we were created male and female with sexual intercourse to be restricted to marriage. And therefore, I think an argument could be made that we were made for sexual union, male and female, not for solo sexual activity. But again, the Bible does not speak directly to this issue. Even Onan's sin is oftentimes misused in regard to masturbation, because that's not the point that the passage is communicating. So I would say, again, the Bible doesn't speak about this, but there are certain principles that we have to keep in mind, because we are body-soul unities, and sex is not just physical, it's metaphysical as well. And therefore, we want to guard our minds and make certain that we are not grieving the Lord by the misuse of one of the greatest gifts he's given us.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Bless you. Just a few words before we go back to our callers on the Battle for the Bible coming up May 7th and May 8th in Tampa Bay, Florida. If you can attend, this would be life transformational. We have assembled together the very best to deal with this issue during the Battle for the Bible in Tampa Bay, Florida. And of course, there's going to be a debate. So you'll be able to hear the best scholars on each side of the issue debating whether or not the Bible is true. And you will be able to see that we have a reason for the hope that lies within us, that we have a firm foundation for what we have believed. And we'll be able to inoculate a whole new generation of people who are being deceived with the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. So if you can attend the Battle for the Bible, make plans to do it today. Time is running out. It's right around the corner. Registration information available at equip.org. Check it out. I want to go back to the phone line, talk to Julia, listening on Bot Radio, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
We have a good friend who has a family member that feels that God told them that they are no longer saved and will not go to heaven. And I'm wondering if there are some scriptures that might really dissuade them from that.
Yeah, I think the Bible is replete with passages that testify to the security of the believer. John 5:24 is a classic case in point. Here we're assured that he who believes has eternal life. Not might have or could have, but has eternal life. For 1 Corinthians 1:8 promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. Or Jude 24, guaranteeing that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault, which is to say that the one who justifies you is also the one who sanctifies you. The one who justifies you is the one who daily conforms you to the image of Christ, and therefore he is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault. Ephesians also provides the surety that you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So I think in total, we could say that the Lord's trees are evergreen, and therefore we don't have to be born again and again and again. We're born again, and once we're born again, we have everlasting life. It begins at the point of redemption and then spreads out eternally. So it doesn't start when you die. It starts when you are born again. Then you have everlasting life that is yours until you see the full substance of it in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Okay. Until you see the full substance of it. Well, I thank you very much, and I'm going to look up these scriptures and take another look at them.
Well, thank you for your call, Julia, and of course we would do well to remember that everlasting life means just that. It means life everlasting. This life doesn't begin when we die, but when we embrace the Savior who died in our place. As our physical birth can never be undone, so too our spiritual birth can never be undone. Christ said, "You must be born again." As I said earlier, he didn't say, "Ye must be born again and again and again." In Philippians, Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to its completion. And so we will not only be justified, we'll be sanctified, and one day we'll be glorified. Then what we are now in position, we will be in practice as well. We will forever be able not to sin. Again, I've spoken about that or written about that in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. For your gift of $100 or more, I'll personalize a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. All proceeds go to spreading this ministry around the globe. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or tune in to XM 170.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man.
Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Innisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Now, back to the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Let's talk to Hank now, listening on Bot Radio in Missouri, from one Hank to another. Hi.
How you doing, sir? I just wonder what your opinion was on the Masonic Lodge.
Well, the Masonic Lodge, or Freemasonry, teaches a gospel of works rather than a gospel of grace. And that's explicit in the first, second, and third degrees, where you have salvation by merit. So I think that you need to be very, very wary of Freemasonry. They call God the great architect of the universe, and as long as they believe in this one God, they can define him as Allah or Buddha or Krishna or whatever.
Right, right. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much for your call. And by the way, the Masonic Bible contains an article that while religions are many, religion is one, thus men can come to their altars regardless of other gods. In Christianity,
well, yes,
there is only one God.
Well, sir, also in their higher levels, when they hit the Shriner levels, I got copies of their oaths and stuff, because I've researched them pretty deep, and they swear oaths to the Muslim god Allah. It says that in their quotes and stuff, so you know, they're on the wrong track to begin with, but I know on the lower levels, there's a lot of good, sincere church members that they don't really understand what they're into until they start digging deep. And I'm just curious, because I know there's, you know, you run into people that you just never know, and you seem real squared away on a lot of things, and I'm so glad to hear you say that, you know, you don't hold with that organization, none.
Well, thank you so much for your call, and for everybody listening in, we have some wonderful literature on this particular subject, because this is an organization that has penetrated many Christian organizations, and in fact is ratified and exalted by many Christian organizations. And I think part of the problem is people simply don't know what's entailed. You get in on one level, but the idea is to progress. And what you progress into is not something that comes out of a biblical worldview, but in many ways is antithetical to a biblical worldview. Let's go right back to the phone calls. Talk to Brad, listening on XM 170 in Dayton, Tennessee. Hi, Brad.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well. My question is, why do people fast?
Well, I think people fast because it's a biblically expressed notion. You see Jesus Christ speaking about fasting in Matthew chapter 6, but he points out that when you fast, you don't want to be like pagans, because what they do is they fast to be seen by men. In our case, when we fast, we do so because we want to be understood from the standpoint of doing something that draws us closer to our Heavenly Father. So Jesus says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil in your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The purpose of fasting is God and not men. Fasting allows us to focus on spiritual things, and fasting reminds us of our weakness. It reminds us of complete dependence on God. So it is a way of withdrawing from the world, as it were, and focusing our mind on God. In some cases, refraining from an activity like eating, either totally or partially for a limited period of time, allows us to engage in more concentrated spiritual activity. For example, it allows us to engage in prayer. Sometimes when we fast in such a way, if you're married, that you refrain from having sexual activity. And in fact, Paul says, stop depriving one another in regard to marital relations, except by agreement for a time that you may devote yourself to prayer and fasting. Fasting is a means ordained by God to prepare the soul and the body and the spirit on important occasions for all kinds of spiritual endeavors. So if you're seeking the will of God, sometimes it is wonderful to deprive yourself of food and really ask for spiritual nourishment from guidance from God, because you're going to make an important decision. So fasting is a privilege. Fasting is not a mere duty. And I think it's something that is taught in Scripture. But when we do so, we want to do so prudently. If you've never fasted, I would heartily recommend that you go on a 40-day fast. You want to work into this gradually as a discipline in your life. Of course, we are told in Scripture that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that the mouth of God gives us food for the soul. And this is quoted by Christians after being tempted by Satan. You see that Christ breaks his fast by turning stone into bread. So you see that the Lord Jesus Christ fasted in the New Testament when he was in the desert, and it was one of the ways in which he demonstrated his power over Satan by focusing on the Word of God, not on the needs of the bodily, physical appetite, but rather an appetite for the Word of God. And of course, you see many times that Jesus Christ withdraws to lonely places to pray because he treasures fellowship with his Heavenly Father. I want to spend just a few moments talking about the Christian Research Institute and what our mission is. We are committed to making people so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, they will know it instantaneously, and they'll be able to use the deviations of those counterfeits as springboards or opportunities for sharing the truth and love and grace and peace that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. So we want you to become familiar with the real McCoy so you can spot the counterfeit. But more than that, be ready to use your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity for sharing the grace of Jesus Christ available to all who will bend their knee to God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, but also revealed himself in time and space in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Christ who demonstrates that he has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, thus demonstrating that he is indeed God. The Bible is the final arbiter. It is the repository for redemptive revelation. The Bible itself is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. As a believer, we have to be able to deal effectively with the great apologetic issues like the issue of origins, the issue of the resurrection, and the issue of the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And if we can learn to deal with those effectively, we can become tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit, the process of using our well-reasoned answer as an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel, to build a relationship with a non-believer, to share the truth of the gospel, that we are saved not by what we do, but what Jesus Christ has done. The gospel is not D-O, it's D-O-N-E. It's done through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And of course, with birth must come growth. So when someone comes to faith in Christ, we need to lead them in the basic steps of discipleship and growth as a new believer. A new believer, as far as that is concerned, is thus a learner or a follower of Jesus Christ. And every single believer is either a secret agent or an ambassador for God. And the question is, if you are an ambassador for Christ, you want to be a good ambassador. Therefore, you want to be equipped to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. That is the mission and ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We do it in so many different ways. Equipping You is done on the World Wide Web at equip.org through our a flagship magazine, the Christian Research Journal, through our radio broadcasts. We are making a difference for time and for eternity, and we invite you to join the team. We have a team internally at the Christian Research Institute, but we also have those externally that are providing for this vital work. God has raised up this ministry for just such a time as this. Won't you stand with us? You can do so prayerfully and financially on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can give there in a safe, secure fashion. Whatever you can do would be desperately needed to make a difference while there is yet time. You can also give via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you send your check, please let us know that you're praying for us as well. You can also give via our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. or call us at 888-7000-274. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry, and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org, or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. Passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? Call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Do remember, you can also give via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Vanessa, listening in California on KKLA. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is about... basically, I'm reading Genesis right now, and I was wondering if you how do you follow God's path totally? I mean, because sin is sin, and when you mess up and you die in sin, and if you're dying in sin, and when your body actually dies, does that mean if you haven't been following God's path and living the way He wants you to live, does that mean you automatically go to hell?
Well, Vanessa, all of us are going to die in sin. The great apostle Paul recognize that he was a sinner. He said, who can save me from this body of death? Luther, probably in the most graphic sense, described what we are. We're snow-covered dung, which is to say that we are covered by a foreign righteousness, or righteousness not of our own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're positionally accounted as righteous before God because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So though I am a believer, I'm still a sinner, and Jesus Christ, who justifies me, also is conforming me daily to His image. So I'm going through a metamorphosis. I'm being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit within my life. Christ is changing me from the inside out. So just as He justifies me, He sanctifies me, and one day He will glorify me. Only in eternity will we be practically holy. Then we'll be in practice what we are now in position. In the meantime, we all sin, and therefore we are sinners. But look, here's the thing. We don't sin willfully on an ongoing basis because our willer is turned in a different direction. When you become a believer, you say, I realize I'm a sinner, and then I can never save myself. and I'm repenting of my sin, I want to turn and follow Jesus Christ and do it His way rather than my own way. So it's a U-turn on the road of life. So you're turning towards Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is. You want to follow Him, not live by the dictates of a sinful nature. Now, as a believer, as one who has repented and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to slip on board. You're just not going to fall overboard. You're going to sin, but when you do, you're going to feel bad about it, and you're going to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. You're going to confess your sins and recognize that He's faithful and just. He will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That makes sense to you?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
You got it, Vanessa. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Pat. Also listening on KKLA in Torrance, California. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Hank.
It's my pleasure.
I read somewhere, I don't know what book I read this in, but I read it somewhere. I may have even read it in the Bible, and it's a very troubling scripture, something to the effect that I have formed or made some to be blessings and some to be cursing
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
And do you know what that is all about?
Yes, I do. And I think what you have to look at here is always context, because this is found in Romans chapter 9.
In Romans chapter 9?
Yeah, but what's going on here is that Paul in Romans is quoting the Old Testament. So if you look at Jeremiah 18, you find out that this is not a way of saying that God is capricious and saying, you know, I'm God, I can do whatever I want. Certainly He is, and He can. But He's never capricious. He always acts in accordance with His nature. So Paul is quoting something that is expanded on in the Old Testament, and he's assuming that you know the Old Testament passage he's quoting from. So, for example, if you go to Jeremiah 18, the word of the Lord came to me, says Jeremiah, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. O house of Israel, if at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if on the other time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. In other words, the clay is formed for noble purposes when it repents. It is formed for ignoble purposes when it rebels. So it is the overarching principle of Scripture, blessings for those who follow, cursings for those who rebel. And that is a principle taught throughout the Scripture. But as far as salvation is concerned, Jesus Christ is the elect one. He is the predestined one. And therefore, you see in the Old Testament that Jesus is the royal seed of Abraham. Now, if you are in Jesus Christ, you are, by virtue of that, the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. Not because you were capriciously predestined or not, but because you place yourself in the predestined one, the one who is elect, chosen before the foundations of the earth. So you are, in fact, elect by being in the elect one, the royal seed of Abraham, and you do that through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you place your faith in the elect one, Jesus Christ, then by virtue of that, you are redeemed, not by your own righteousness, but by His. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. Of course, again, Jesus is the elect one. He's the royal seed of Abraham. And if you want to see how this is cashed out, one of the passages that I always recommend that someone meditate on is Galatians chapter 3, where Scripture does not say that Abraham had seeds, plural, but only a seed, singular, and that seed is Jesus Christ. And if you read the end of Galatians 3, you see Paul writing, "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise."
Okay. Now, in Romans 9, is this this place where he says some are to be blessings and some are to be cursed? Is that in Romans 9 what?
Yeah. Here's what I want you to be careful of. Although I can give you the passage in Romans chapter 9, I think you want to be careful. When you read, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion."
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you want to read that in the context of what Paul is saying. In other words, Paul is giving us a sustained, sophisticated argument that you want to read in total. Because if you don't, you can misunderstand the point that he is making. The real question is, why are some experiencing judgment while others are experiencing salvation and blessing? And the answer given by Paul is that the saved pursued salvation by faith and not by works. So the same stone that caused Zion or Israel to stumble is the source of security or sanctuary for those who believe. And what Paul is doing is blending two texts, Isaiah 8 and 28. And the point is that the Lord is either the cornerstone of our life or the capstone over which we fall. It all depends on whether you have faith in Jesus Christ. So the question is Paul preaching hard determinism here, or is something else going on? The only way you can answer that question is by reading the sustained argument of Paul in total. That's why I always teach people to read the Bible in books and not in bits.
Okay, so thank you so very much for clearing that up for me.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate
okay,
your call.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. And we are, unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air, when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. As always, you can contact us on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And Resource Consultants is always standing by when you dial 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Out of time for this edition of the program. Look forward, by God's grace, to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max McLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.